Express my feelings this morning in regard to how good the Lord's been to us in this meeting. The ministry that has come to visit with us on Friday and Saturday and this morning also have been richly blessed of the Lord to preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And this truth is that which we are to earnestly contend for, our faith that was once delivered to the saints, a faith that is a body of truth that we are to declare and not to shun to declare all of the counsel of God. So I think of the different sermons we've heard, doctrinal discourses we've heard, experiential discourses we've heard, practical discourses, those things that tell us of the fundamental doctrine of grace and what the Lord did for His people in saving them from their sin. Experientially, how that affects the life of those of God's children. It's affected all of us. It's affected each and every one of His children. There is an effect that happens and occurs in the life of one who's brought out of a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. There's a change. There's a new creature. There's a new birth. Be born from above. And that changes, whether it's in obedience or disobedience, as a little child of God, it changes how you live. It changes how you think. It changes how you perceive and see the world. It changes everything you know. It changes everything you think. Doesn't mean we always think right. If I would say that to you, I'm sure that wouldn't be very comforting today. That if I said something to you, which would not be the truth, that once you're born again, that you always think right. Or once you're born again, that you always act right, speak right, talk right. If that would be the case, I'm glad that the Bible doesn't teach that. If the Bible taught it, we would be commanded to declare it. But the Bible does not teach that. If that would be the case, then that would be clear evidence in my regard that I was not born from above. And I'd be afraid. I would be full of fear.
I believe you're born from above.
I would be full of concern and worry. I'd be worried not only about timely things, I would be worried primarily and most assuredly about eternal things. About if I would leave this world this very moment, where would I be? And the things we've heard declared, I believe with all my heart it's the truth. The doctrine of grace has alleviated a lot, taken away a lot, helped me a lot with the fear of being eternally cast away from Him and the fear that really can overwhelm us in our day-to-day life simply by knowing and understanding who He is. Now, I could talk about who He is from this time on through the time we're going to sit and eat chicken on through all evening.
That's right.
And I could declare that to you and never get done. Brother Jason has done a good job at letting us know how little we can really grasp and understand of the fullness of Almighty God. We see through a glass darkly. One day, we'll see Him face to face. And all those things that are so much a mystery to us will be not only just a little bit known. We'll know as much as He knows us. We'll know as we're known. Now you think about that. How well does He know everything? Well, He knows everything to the Well, we can't get that either, can we? We can't get to how well he knows everything. The eyes of the Lord are where? In every place. It's not only in every place, it's at all times in every place, because God inhabits eternity. Now, you know, I can't even grasp eternity, much less think about one who he lives, he inhabits, and he inhabits eternity. And in him, in Jesus, in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily. And the message that we've heard about him, though, as much as I've been able to hear, as much as I've been able to hear about a Savior who loved his people in covenant even before the foundation of the world, as much as I've heard about a Savior who loved them so much, a Father who loved them so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Son that he loved far more than any mother here loves any of your children. Which one would you give for anybody? Mess with a mama and her children, you got to fight. I know that. You don't want to mess with a mama and her children. And I'm telling you, though, there was a God who loved his Son. And yet, God didn't have only his Son. He desired. Why did God desire that? I don't know. That's one of those great mysteries. You know, when someone said, well, he wanted someone to praise him. Well, certainly he did. But there were angels that he created to praise him. Listen, I'll tell you what's going on in heaven today. A worship service is going on. There's a God the Father who's on the throne. There's the Lamb who is there as the one who enables those of his children to see the God who's on the throne. Because without the Lamb, we couldn't see him. We would never be there. There had to be one who prepared the way for us or any of God's children who passed on to be with him in heaven. I believe there's God's children in heaven today. Don't you? I believe that. You said, how can that be? Well, I'll tell you how it was. Because a Savior came and died. And he said, I've come to prepare a place for you. And I'm telling you, the place he came to prepare, heaven was prepared from the foundation of the world. But you and I would have never been able to enter heaven's bright world if there had not been a Savior who was the door and the way and the truth and the life. And if he hadn't loved you so much, he would not have come. But he did love you. He had a love for the Father, and he fulfilled the will of the Father. But he loved his children because the Father loved his children. And listen, I and my Father are one. And that Son who came, we heard about it all weekend. That Son who came and died on the tree of the cross and paid the sin debt.
Yeah, sure did.
Paid for every lie you've ever told, for every thought you've ever had. You know how the Lord worked in that old buddy that reached his hand in the window? He said, God bless you. Yeah. And I'm sure his heart was touched. I believe he meant it. And God whipped you at the same time he blessed him. And as he whipped you, you've whipped us. Because you've shared probably with all of us. Have you had that experience? Have you ever looked at that one and said, oh, I'm glad I'm not like them? Have you ever been a Simon who said, if he knew what kind of woman that was, she doesn't belong here, she shouldn't be here. If he knew who she was, he wouldn't let her even touch him, much less weep like she was and wipe his feet with the hairs of her head. He'd have no part with her. Listen, Jesus came to that place. He was at Simon's house for her, and he was at Simon's house for Simon. He was working in the bum, or whatever he is. I don't want to call him that. Here I am. I'm going to tell you where I'd be. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't love him. I wouldn't care about him. I wouldn't love this place. I wouldn't have a desire for it. I wouldn't be afraid of a hell, because I wouldn't believe there's a God who is going to hold anyone accountable. Listen, if God hadn't revealed himself to you, you're not scared of him. You're getting along in this world. All you want to do is just keep getting along. If I can just get along, you know, we hear men all the time said, I've never felt any need to call on him. And I'm telling you, until God knocks you down and lets you see what you are by nature and how little you are, and every one of us, I don't care if you're young or old or where you are in your life, if God has blessed you to know you need him, That's an evidence he loved you
yeah.
enough to send his son for you. What he did for you was die. He suffered. He suffered not only the agony and the pain that you would feel on a cross, if that was a judgment. He suffered your hell.
Yeah, Lord, no man.
He suffered the wages of an eternal torment that would have been justifiably poured out on us had he not taken it in his own body. But I want you to know, dear little child of God, don't be afraid. Fear not, because there's good news. There is balm in Gilead. There's riches for those who are poor. There is oil of joy for those who are under the burden and down in sackcloth and ashes. Yeah. Listen, I'm telling you, in the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, we hear about the finished work of Jesus and what it's done for us.
Yeah, Lord.
He didn't try to do it.
No,
he didn't give it all he had and leave it up to you. He didn't hope it would get done. He didn't say, well, I hope this pays for somebody. No, he knew who you were, and he loved you in covenant, and he came here and in this world, and he died for you in particular, and he shed his blood for you in particular, and he did that which was necessary, that you one day would be with him forever and ever and ever in heaven. And he's called for you and I in this time to live our lives unashamedly, professing his name. Be not ashamed, Paul said, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. And Paul wasn't just talking about he got arrested by grace. I believe he was a prisoner in grace, but Paul was in chains. He was in Roman bondage. He had gone from one persecution into another persecution. Paul got beat. He got whipped. He got stoned. Sometimes we think, they're treating me unkind. They didn't speak to me over there. They didn't receive my preaching too good. They looked like they were, maybe they slept a little bit, and we felt like, well, they didn't show me the respect that they should have. I'm telling you what, they beat the Apostle Paul. They ripped his back open. He went preaching Jesus. Whether they beat him or whether they stoned him or whatever they did, he had a profession to make he was a preacher appointed of God, an apostle by the will of God. And Paul didn't volunteer for this. I'm telling you, that old persecuting Saul would have gone on persecuting the church and died in that very state had not God arrested him on a road where he was intending to do one thing, but God had something else purpose for Paul. And I'm telling you, when God got finished with him, you have a Saul that's broken down, and you got a persecuting Saul, as the old brethren says, turned into a praying Paul, a praying preaching Paul. And I'm telling you, Paul, who said, all of my learning is worthless. All that I've gotten in the natural things of this world mean nothing unless I apply them to the one in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he said, I suffer all things for Christ's sake. You and I, we don't suffer much. They get me a little upset. I'll quit. I'll just stop. I get mad. I have a little pity party. And I'll call up a preacher or two and have him join in with me. We'll have a trio pity party, a four or five. Get the whole church having a pity party. He suffered our agony in Calvary.
Oh, Lord, nobody knows.
Somebody call your name? I'm telling you, he knew what name calling was.
Yeah.
Somebody treat you a little unkind? Listen, his very friends walked away from him. All of his love. And listen, where he went alone. There was no one there. It was ordained to some extent. It was ordained that that would be the case. Listen, I didn't help him. You didn't help him. And the disciples didn't help him. He trod the winepress alone. He paid a price that we could not pay. Listen, there's not going to be many saviors in heaven. There's not many saviors on earth. There's only one savior. The Lord said, I am God, and beside me there is no savior. When that little brother said, why callest thou me good? Jesus says, why callest thou me good? He said, there's none good but God. He wasn't saying I'm not good. He was saying, you don't recognize me as God. And until you recognize me as God, God forbid you'd ever call me good.
I tried. You gotta be recognized.
Was Jesus good? Absolutely. You know why? Because he was God. He would not have been good if he wasn't God, because he said he was God. And if he had said he was God and wasn't God, he would not have been a perfect Savior. He would have not have been good. Someone said, well, I believe he was a good man, but I don't believe he was God. Listen, Jesus said, I'm one with the Father, did he not? They knew what he said. They heard what he said. And they said, you blaspheme, because you've said you're equal with God. If he was not equal with God, he certainly said he was, then he wasn't good. I'm telling you, he was good because he was God.
He was God. That's right.
That makes sense?
Perfect.
You know why it makes sense? Because God from heaven has allowed you to see it.
That's right.
You said, that's wonderful. You know what it really, you know how wonderful it is? It's so wonderful that means one day you're going to live with him forever and ever in glory.
Yeah, Lord.
That means one day you're going to be made like unto him, fashioned like unto him, and the old seats won't get tired. You love worship. I know you do. But the body gets weary. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. One day you and I will be completely adopted. We'll have the fullness of the adoption of this, our body, and we'll be body, soul, and spirit with the Lord.
Yeah.
And you'll be in a meeting like these good meetings you said many, many times over that you'll never, ever want to leave. Some people say, well, I don't like this church. I don't like this churchy stuff too much. I tell you, you better enjoy worship, because heaven's going to be nothing but worship. And it's a wonderful thing when the Lord prepares your heart.
Yeah, brother.
I know whom I have believed. I believe the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He says that in 2 Timothy and verse 12. He says, chapter 1, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. You know, Paul said, I'm suffering these things. Why? For that same gospel we've heard preached.
That's right.
That's what Paul suffered. Paul didn't preach to get somebody into heaven. Paul wasn't concerned about one of God's children missing out on eternal heaven. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Paul believed that every one of God's children that Jesus died for would be without a doubt with him in heaven, without the loss of one. All of his preaching never added one to that, or his failure to preach caused one of them not to be there. Listen, that work was finished at Calvary. But Paul felt the great burden of telling God's little children who are filled with fear and a heart that's burdened about the wonderful, wonderful grace of Almighty God.
Yeah, brother.
That they may learn to live and act and walk in great thanksgiving and gratitude to the Lord who's done so very much for us. He said this. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed.
No,
I'm not ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed of your Savior.
Nobody.
Don't be ashamed of telling someone you believe in the good Lord. Don't be ashamed to say, I'm praying about it.
Nobody.
Don't be. There'll be those who mock you. And listen, you're in a world today that is going to mock you even more. Don't be ashamed to say, I'm praying, not in anybody's name, not in somebody's name. I'm praying in the name of the only one in whom I can pray, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is my friend above all others.
Yeah.
Jesus is my rock.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one who's helped me in the storms of life.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one who'll keep my family together. Jesus is the one who'll protect me and help me as a whether you're a young child facing a world that's so contrary to this, or wherever you are in your life, listen, you need him, and there are those who know that, and all men need him, and not all men know it.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, when he makes you aware of that, you confess it, you profess it, you live it. Don't be ashamed. If they, Paul was willing to have his back ripped open, and even eventually his life taken, if history is correct, as a martyr for the name of Jesus. And he wasn't housing people in heaven. He was telling God's little children about that heaven. I want you to have peace about that. Oh, I know the burden you feel. I know how you feel in your heart. I know the concern that you have. I know what fear is. And God's little children need that fear alleviated, removed, taken from you. You need to hear that good. Listen, there's good news. There is good news from a far country, and you out working hard. There ain't nothing in this world like a good cup of cold water, is it? I mean, if you really thirsty, they can bring you anything you want, but nothing like good old water. I mean, it hits a spot. And I'm telling you what, there's a better water than that natural water. That little woman at the well said, "You don't even have anything to draw with." He said, "Woman, if you knew who you were talking to, and you knew the gift of God, you would have asked for me of water, and I would have given you living water." I'm telling you, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a water that satisfies that thirsty soul. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Now that's not talking to everybody. It's talking to you who are laboring and a heavy laden. I can't make you labor and heavy laden. I can't take the puffed up in a man, knock it out of him. All I can do is take a puffed up man and make him want to fight. That's all. And that's the old flesh now we contend with. You ever get like that? Say that to me. It's on. That's the old nature of man. I'm telling you though, when God takes you on, it ain't a battle. He'll knock you down and knock you flat, and you'll realize, "I can't even move without him." A persecuting Saul came to see that, where he cried out, "Who art thou, Lord?" Have you been there? Have you been there? I'm telling you, you can look to him. "Be not ashamed," he said. "Nevertheless," he said, "I am not ashamed, for I know what whom I have believed." Listen, the one we're believing in is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He made all therein is. He's the one who loved you enough to send his only begotten Son. And also the one and the person of the Holy Spirit, who is one with God, has come and worked in your heart. And every one of his children, somewhere between conception and death, get called. And he doesn't say, "Would you please get born again?" He says, "Live," and guess what? I'm alive. Just like a little baby. A little baby don't say, you know, he doesn't say, "Well, I think today would be a good day to get born, and I'll just come on into this world." He doesn't do that. He's acted on. He's here for a while before he even knows he's here. He'll look up one. He'll be saying, "You ever see one just like discover a foot or a hand or something? You know, yeah, that is. Hey, I got one of them. Oh, look at that." Doesn't know much, does he? I'll tell you what, God's little children, when you come and be born of the Spirit, you don't know much either. You just know you're alive, and you don't understand. I'm different. Something's happened to me. I've seen brethren, it looked like they felt like they lost their mind. Felt like I'm going crazy. "Please take me to a doctor, because I'm losing my mind." Have you felt like at times you're losing your mind? I'm telling you, there's an answer. And that answer is to trust in the living God. Yeah. Be thankful you got that knocked out of you. Your high-mindedness, your headedness. And that there's one when you get puffed. Is there one when you get puffed up that doesn't let you get by with it? Is there one who wakes, you know, you wouldn't have thought nothing of that if God hadn't allowed you to see it. And if he's allowed you to see it, dear children of God, be thankful even for the wicked. He says, "For I know whom I have believed." We know whom we believed. Is he worthy of your trust? Absolutely. Has he been good to you? Oh, I guarantee you, if I ask you how he'd been good to you, every one of you could tell me a story. You wouldn't want to do that, but you could. You might be like the little woman who was with the issue of blood. You know, she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. We've heard about that this weekend too. She was so overwhelmed with fear of what had happened. She knew she was healed, but she was hid. She tried to hide herself because she felt unworthy and felt, what could I say to one who has done so much for me? But you know, he didn't let her hide, did he? He called her out. And the woman at the well went away, said, "Hey, let me tell you about a man who knew everything about me. He knew our, is not this the Christ? Who taught of that?" I'm telling you, the work of the Holy Spirit. If you have any inkling of this, it's only by the work of the Holy Spirit. He worked in you. You wasn't looking for him. And when he did it, he didn't try to do it. It's done. Now, what can I do? That's what men ask. What can I do? You follow him. You follow him in obedience. Don't be ashamed. You follow him in baptism. Don't be ashamed. You take up your cross. You say, "Well, What will that mean? That means you give Him honor and glory. One day in heaven, you will give Him all the honor and the praise and glory. And while we're here in this world, we're commanded to do that.
Yes.
You sit at a communion table and take part of the remembrance of His blood and the remembrance of His body that was broken for you. You do those things that are pleasing to Him. You take the name of Jesus with you and walk in this world in a way to honor Him and glorify Him. And you'll not be sorry for any of that. There's a lot of things I'm sorry for. Brother brought that up. He said one thing. I thought of a bunch of things that I'm sorry for. I'm sure he could have shared more with us. But do you have some things you're sorry for? All of us do, don't we? All of us do. Do you know every one of those things? Jesus has taken to the tree of the cross and removed them from you so they'll never be remembered against you again. Amen, sister. Because if he hadn't done that, one of them would have separated us from him forever. But he who knew all of those things, in spite of all that we aren't, he loved us in spite of that and took what we deserved. And then the beauty of it, he not only took away that which he not only paid what we deserved, he then turned and gave us what he deserved. You can sing about a reward in heaven if you want to. That's okay. But the reward, if you always remember, that reward isn't one you earned. You didn't win the prize. He won the prize. And if you have a reward, it's his that's given to you. That's what it is. That's your reward. What he earned and merited, he gave to you. But I'm telling you, it's yours because he gave it to you. I remember a long time ago when someone was talking about salvation. I'm going to stop. I'm looking at the watch. I can read it. It does work.
The time belongs to him.
I want you to understand, a long time ago, somebody was talking about salvation with my dad. And I remember this. He was in a discussion with someone who didn't believe what we believe and thought salvation was something you had to accept. If you didn't accept it, it wasn't yours. Dad was discussing with him. He said, well, it's like my watch. He said, if I take this watch and I give it to you, it's your watch. The man said, well, it wouldn't be my watch if I don't take it. He said, if I take my watch off and I give it to you, this is your watch. He said, well, what if I give it back to you? He said, I'm going to be walking around with your watch on my arm. Because this is your watch. Listen, the salvation Jesus gave you, it's your salvation. It's what he did for you. He gave it to you. It's yours. Are there times you and I don't sit at the table that he's prepared for us? Are there times we miss the blessings of trusting in him? Are there times we're scared to death because we're so worried about what was going to happen when his hand is on us all the way? Are there times we're not praising him because we're so busy doing other things? Are there times we're not where we ought to be? I'm telling you, it's still his salvation. He says, sit down and at the banqueting house and feed and drink and remember him. And it isn't just about what happens within the doors of this assembly. Listen, that's just where you get the information. What you do is you then take that and carry it into this world where you shine as lights in this world. And you don't do it so they say, oh, what wonderful people are Primitive Baptists. No, you don't do it because they say, oh, what wonderful people are Utsas or whatever name you want to put in there. You do it because what a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful name is Christ. And you do it in his name. The Apostle Paul said, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. I want you to be persuaded. He's worthy of you to pray to when you have trouble. You have trouble in your home and in your family. You get on your knees and you pray to the Lord. He is worthy of your trust. Don't look to man. They're not worthy of your trust, even the best of them. You look to God. Now God may send you a help. He may send you a man. He may send you a messenger. He may send you an angel. He works in mysterious ways the way he works. He may answer in ways you've never thought. He may give you things you thought, well, I don't really need that. But I'm telling you, he can open the doors we need open, and he can shut the doors we need shut, and he knows that far better than you and I. So why are you and I so worried about it? I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? I want you to be persuaded. I believe preacher does have some persuasion to it. I believe there's, now I'm not talking about trying to get people that don't know anything to be persuaded to know something. Only God can do that. But I'm telling you, God's little children who have an ear to hear and an eye to see and a heart to understand need to be persuaded by the ministry that what we just shine the light on the glory of Almighty God that you might see it. Be persuaded. You trust Him. I don't know where you are in life. I know if you're in this world, as we've already heard, you're a few days and full of trouble, and you need Him. He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able." How much can you talk about Him being able? Well, let's just open the book anywhere and get started. He's able. You read it every day. He's able. He's more. He is able to do, Brother Daddy quoted that in his prayer this morning. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. You believe that? I do. I'll tell you, I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in the lives of others. I've seen it in the writings of His Word. And I believe one day we'll see it in the fullness of it and really understand it. But I'm glad to see right now through a glass darkly. And I'm able that He is able to keep that which I've committed. We would have never committed anything unto Him had He not first worked in us. Yeah. But then we are to and should commit it all to Him. Yeah. Why would I hold on to that which I can't keep when I can turn it over to one who can't lose and will never lose? Why? Why? I don't want to be walked. You know, it's your watch. You wear it. You use it. You utilize it. He's given it to you. You take the name of Jesus with you. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
I love you, my brother. I love you. You're okay.